Atkinson will come and testify, and after he has said what he wants to say to us, then we want him to introduce this evangelist that he knows probably a little bit better than the rest of us do. Brother Atkinson, God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Rutledge. It's good to be here tonight and to be in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
A lot of times we measure the presence of the Lord by the way that we feel. But it's not always what you feel.
That's right.
You know, the Lord's here whether you feel him or not.
That's right.
You know, Nathaniel was sitting under a tree one time, and the Lord said, I saw you when you were sitting under that tree over there.
Yeah.
I was there under that tree. But you didn't realize I was there.
Amen.
And a lot of times, you know, people come to church and, you know, they say, I didn't feel a thing. That didn't keep him from being here.
That's right.
The trouble's with us. Praise the Lord. He's here. Praise the Lord. You know, and he wants to do whatever you need done tonight.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And we can't blame him with anything. Just let go and let the Lord have his way tonight. Praise the Lord. Do you love him tonight? I've enjoyed what I've heard tonight. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn Brother Cagle loose in the Lord. And one thing I know, he likes to eat.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, brother. I do too.
Amen. God bless you.
Well, he could say a lot of things about me. I'm glad that was all he said. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be here tonight. How about you? Amen. I've been looking forward to this today. I thank the Lord for the good service we had last night, for the blessings of the Lord that I feel in my soul, and for another opportunity that God has given to us to worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Amen. I love the Lord and thank him for his many blessings.
Praise the Lord. That's Cindy James.
Amen.
And those of you that knew her mama when she was about that size may think you're seeing double. And not too much bigger than that now. We were at Arkadelphia this last week and preached for Brother Dick Price and Sister Debbie. And Tempe's been learning division in her schoolwork, and she had figured out what the offering was, divided up four ways. And she said, I've been singing in them services every night, and so she told me how much was her part.
Yeah.
Oh, me. Sister Mary D, come and testify or sing or both, whatever you... Somebody really bragged on you last night and told Sister Rutledge that they just really felt a good spirit when you testified. So have a good testimony for us.
You know what he said to me yesterday? He said, you know what my dream is? And I thought, oh, I wonder what in the world. He said, it's when you get up there to testify some night, just turn around to me and say, I've got the sermon for tonight. And you just Well, I don't have the sermon for tonight, but I do have a testimony for the Lord. My Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. That's what I want to do when I enter that door back there, is start praising and thanking the Lord. I believe that's what we're supposed to do when we enter this place, is praise the Lord and worship him. That's what we've gathered here for tonight. And I'm thankful that I can feel something when I come into this place. I love the Lord tonight.
Praise the Lord. Well, we like to sing this song because it makes us feel good. And it says, I'm a millionaire. Now, don't get any ideas. If you see my billfold, you'd laugh. We still need your offering.
Yeah. I was thinking.
But when I knew you were.
15 divided before.
Yeah.
Not much.
But I'll tell you, when you think about the blessings of the Lord and all that God has done for us and all the many things that he has blessed us with, really, we're more than millionaires. when you think about it. And we like to sing this song because it makes us feel good, and you worship the Lord as we sing, I'm a Millionaire.
I'm now a child of God. I've been washed in Jesus' blood, making me an heir to wealth beyond compare. So while here I press along, maybe this will be my song. I'm a happy, happy, happy millionaire.
Can't tell rich folks by looking at them sometimes.
Right.
So don't be deceived. But we really are. We have been feasting on the good blessings of the Lord in this place. And we know that the Lord has something great in store for us again tonight.
Amen.
As we look to the word of the Lord and as we talk about the Lord and think about the Lord and entertain His presence, I feel like the Lord would want to talk to us tonight. I know a young lady that was in the altar last night praying, and we told her after the service, now, if you feel that Holy Ghost coming on you, don't you wait till we give an altar call to get the Holy Ghost. It won't disturb us if you just jump up and start receiving the Holy Ghost while we're preaching. We'll let you receive it, and then we'll finish out. Amen. That's all right. We just want to entertain the presence of the Lord. That's why I'm here. I've come to worship and praise Him. Amen. Let's stand together.
Hallelujah.
When I gave my heart to the Lord and when I decided to serve Him, I made up my mind I was going to give Him everything that I had. in my case, it wasn't a whole lot. I didn't have a lot of calendar abilities that many of the others had. But I said, Lord, here I am. If you can do anything with me, if you can do anything through me, then just take me and use me. And I'm still praying that prayer. Though we sometimes feel very inadequate and unworthy, yet we are here tonight to try to share the good word of the Lord with you and try to help you, if we can, in your walk with the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I'm having a good time. I've been enjoying this good singing and testimonies. And it's even good to have my father-in-law with me tonight, right here behind me. If this message is good, and if it goes over well, then I will be his son-in-law. But if it doesn't, then I will be Sister Mary's son-in-law. That's what he tells me when I go to preach in Star City. He says, if this is good, he's my son-in-law. If it's not good, he's my wife's son-in-law. You can let him know whether I belong to him or not when the service is over. I'm reading tonight from 2 Kings chapter 4. We're thankful for each one of you that are in the house of the Lord. God bless you for your faithfulness. In 2 Kings chapter number 4, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast in the house. And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. And he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her, and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay the debt, and live, thou and thy children of the rest. Praise the Lord. I'd ask Brother Rutledge to come, if you would, and ask the Lord's blessing on the remainder of this service and upon this message. And you sit prayerfully and let the Spirit of the Lord speak to you tonight.
Dear Lord, we want more than just the soothing tickling of the ear of ministry. We want results.
Yes, Lord.
And by faith, we can have results tonight from the things that Brother Kagan will bring to us. We just ask that you anoint him and anoint our ears, that we might hear the truth and act upon it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Whether we realize it or not, every one of us are important in the kingdom of God. I know there are some times when you feel very inadequate and very unnecessary. You feel like, well, they can get along without me, or they'll never miss me if I'm not there. But they do. I speak from the minister's standpoint, having pastored, that there's not a service goes by that they can't name the ones that weren't there and wonder why they were there, weren't there. Or those individuals who should have been there that never showed up. And so you do count.
Amen.
I've known individuals that had a desire to do something for the Lord, but felt like because of their lack of experience or inability, they were unable to produce anything for Him. I've known individuals that wanted to come to the Lord and told me, Brother Yeager, that they were going to come to the Lord someday. But first, I've got to get my life straightened out, and there's a few things that I need to work out and some things that I need to get done, and then I'll be over there to the church and I'll be able to serve the Lord. I've told those, I took that for an excuse for a long time, and then finally one day kind of got a little bit tired of hearing it, and so I told the fellow, well, I guess we'll never see you then.
Yeah.
Because the old devil will make sure that you never get everything all straightened out, that you never get everything all worked out, and that you never are just one of us. And the beauty of it is God does not ask anything of us that we're not able to produce. I've known young men that got the Holy Ghost and decided then that the oath would preach. And so then they went out to try to preach. And then when they did not have the anointing on them, they came back very discouraged. Some even lost out with the Lord altogether. Really, it was never intended for them to preach. God never called them to preach. But having the lack of understanding and not realizing that there are many other things that you can do in the kingdom of God in working for the Lord, they felt like, well, then I must not have anything, and lost completely out with Him. I've known other individuals that felt like they were so incapable of producing anything and were so afraid that God was going to ask something of them that they were afraid to stay in a prayer meeting because they were afraid that the Spirit might convict them. Or they were afraid to linger around the altar, afraid maybe they may be talked to by the Spirit of the Lord. But my friend, I want you to know here tonight, all God would ever ask of you or require of you is simply what you're able to do for Him. It's a wonderful thing to know that God's not going to ask you to do something that you're not able to do. I remember when the Lord first called me to preach. I was about 15 years old, and whether or not you're called to preach. You're too young to figure that out on your own. Of course, since that time, I've met some guys that I wish they'd have had a grandpa like mine. It could have helped them out a little bit. But so I went down there with him to find out whether or not I was called to preach. I knew what God had said to me. I knew how I was feeling in my heart. I knew what was on me. And, oh, I was ready to go, Brother Howard. I was all charged up. But Grandpa Cagle was just kind of keeping the lid on things a little bit there. And so when I got off the bus and made my way over to the house where they were living, he said, well, I'll tell you now, if God has really called you to preach, there's going to be some things that's going to happen in this meeting. And I said, oh, really? Yeah. He said, somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost, somebody's going to get baptized, and there's going to be a miracle. And I thought, well, that's a mighty big bill to fill. Could we just go for one out of three? He said, no. He said, now these signs shall follow them. And he preached me a little message there while we were riding in the car, you know. So I thought, well, Lord, I feel like I'm called, but Lord, you better come to my rescue. I can't feel anybody with the Holy Ghost. I can't do anything for God. You've got to help me, Lord. So our day began, you've heard me tell it, with a 5 o'clock prayer meeting. And we walked to the church for the prayer meeting. And I was down in that altar just crying out to God. No heat on in that building. It was wintertime. And I was just praying, oh, God, you've got to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost, because if you don't, I'm not going to get to preach. And, oh, God, you've got to heal somebody or perform some kind of a miracle, because if you don't, I'm going to have to go back home and do something else for you. And I really feel like you've called me. And, Lord, somebody's got to get baptized. And we'd go every night, and we'd see the saints, you know, and we'd preach, and we'd shout, and we'd feel real good. But I didn't see anybody there that needed the Holy Ghost, and I didn't see anybody coming that needed to be baptized. There was a few potential miracles in the building, but it didn't look really promising. And when the week started progressing, I thought, Lord,
we've not got much longer with this. And one day we were down praying. I don't know if I've ever told you this or not, but I'm going to share with you tonight because I feel like it'll kind of help lay some groundwork here for my thought that I have. I had a prayer meeting. We were together. I got down at one end of the altar, and Grandpa got down to the other end of the altar. It was about this long. And if you never prayed with him, you really missed a real treat. Because he'd pray a while and talk a while. I mean, he could be talking in tongues one minute and telling you we need to go to the grocery store and get milk on the way home. And then he'd go right back into tongues. So he was down there praying, and I was down this end praying, and I've already told you how I prayed. Oh, God, you've got to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost, and oh, God, you've got to perform a miracle, and oh, God, somebody's got to get baptized. We've only got three more nights for you to do this, Lord, if I'm going to be a preacher. And while I'm down there praying, he's down there just talking in tongues and worshiping, and all of a sudden he raised up and said, "Hey!" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You're not JTQ. And I said, "All right. Oh, Jesus, help us, Lord. I'm not JTQ, Lord. I need more help now than I thought I did. Oh, Jesus." We prayed a little while longer. He said, "Hey." And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You're not James Kilgore." I said, "All right." So I said, "Oh, Jesus." And I kept praying that way, and he called out a few other names there for a while, and finally, I just stopped praying. I looked up at him, and I said, "Well, who am I?"
Yeah.
I couldn't pray anymore until I found out who it was.
Right.
He said, "Well, I'll tell you who you are." He said, "You're Paul Ray Cagle." And he said, "I'm going to tell you something. When you get up in that pulpit tonight, you quit trying to be like this one or like that one or like somebody else. Because God expects what you have. And God expects what you've been blessed with. And God wants you to be yourself. Isn't it wonderful to know tonight that God's not expecting you to be like that one that's sitting beside you or in front of you or behind you? They may have more education. They may have more potential. They may have more abilities. And they may have more talent. But regardless of what they may have or the lack that you may have, all God is ever asking of you, whether you are saved or whether you're a sinner, is to give what you have and let him take it and bless it and use it for his kingdom."
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
So I told him, "Okay, so now if you don't like what you're hearing tonight, you can blame it on Grandpa Cagle."
Yeah. Amen.
But anyway, long about not to, yeah, I guess I better tell you the rest of the story. When we got to service that night, there was two new people there we never had seen before. One of them was about 85 years old. I didn't have much store in him, but I sure thought the other one could be a real potential.
Yeah.
But guess who got the Holy Ghost?
Yeah.
The old fella did. And he was all bent over like this.
Uh-huh.
And couldn't straighten up. And we had a terrible time getting him down in that baptismal tank.
Yeah.
And it was a real deep one. And the steps were real deep. We got him down in that tank to baptize him. And when we did, he came up out of that water and just straightened straight up like this. And hung his cane on his arm and walked out like this. And I shouted all the way to the car with him. Glory, because I knew then I'd get to preach. We got it all in one person.
All right.
A beautiful illustration of the oneness.
Glory. Amen.
The prophet of God had received a visit from a widow woman who said, "My husband has passed, and I'm left with the bills."
Yeah.
And in those days, they took your children and used them as servants, and their hire for working went towards the debt that you had. And she said, they have come, the creditors have come, and have threatened to take my two sons away from me. And I'm needing some help. And the prophet told her, he said, I have only got one question to ask you. What is it that you've got in the house? That was a strange question to ask. But you see, God always uses what you have. God never expects something that you don't already have in your possession. That's why if you're here tonight and you are unsaved and you're desiring to come to the Lord or have plans in the future to come to the Lord, I'm here to tell you, don't try to straighten yourself up. Just come to Jesus just like you are. That's how He wants you, just as I am, as the old hymn says, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and thus thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come just as I am.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So he said, what have you got there in the house? And she says, well, what we have here is just a pot of oil. It seemed trivial. It seemed insignificant. It seemed unimportant. It seemed something that it would almost be embarrassing to tell the man of God that that was all that you had. And yet he told her and gave her explicit instructions to go and borrow the vessels. Go out to the neighbors and borrow. And everywhere. And bring these empty vessels and bring them, not a few, into the house and shut the door. And God is going to take care of everything. Now, we're living in an age when people would say, that preacher has lost his mind. That's not going to help me at all. I was looking for a loan. I wasn't looking for instructions about my oil pot. I was looking for him to take up a special love offering. I wasn't looking for him to tell me to go home and start pouring oil. I don't understand what's going on here. And could that perhaps be the reason why we fail to receive the touch and the answer and the blessing that we're many times seeking? This little woman, on simple childlike obedience and faith in the man of God and the commandment he gave her, acted upon the principle and the command that he had given. And even though it seemed silly, even though it seemed trivial, even though it seemed unimportant, she did as she was instructed to do.
That's good.
And so in her obedience, she went and began to pour these vessels, and they filled up. You know the story.
Yeah.
And filled up and filled up till all the vessels were full. She asked the boys for any more. They said there aren't any more. And then they took and sold that oil and paid off the creditors. She used what she had.
Amen.
And she was able, with that, to see it blessed and multiplied.
Right.
Kind of reminds you of another story, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
About a little boy that had lunch one day. You remember that story?
Yeah.
And how when he gave what he had, it seemed unimportant. It seemed trivial. I don't believe I'd have been bold enough to ever even offer it to the Lord to start with. When there are 5,000 hungry men, not counting the women and children that were gathered there that day, I don't believe I'd have been bold enough to say, well, here's my lunch. But he offered it, and we know that it fed the multitude that day. You see, we fail to remember and recognize and realize many times that what God is wanting from us is what we can give to Him, not something way out there that's unreachable or unattainable, something that we're not able to produce, something that we're not able to do. Oh, many times we become so frustrated in our walk with God because always we're striving and always we're reaching and always we feel like, oh, I failed and I'm no good and I can't do it. And, oh, I sang flat tonight, or oh, I was off key tonight, or oh, I was off beat tonight, or oh, that testimony fell flat tonight, or oh, that Sunday school lesson was boring. I could hardly stand up myself, and I don't know how the kids ever sat through it. And on we beat ourselves when all God is asking, just do what you can do. Just give me what you have. Let me bless it. Let me anoint it. Let me use it. And I'll show you what it can become when it's placed in the Master's hand.
Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. When we make up our minds that we're going to give it to Jesus, that we're going to turn it over to Jesus. Lord, here it is. Here it is, Lord. I want you to take it. I don't feel like it's a whole lot to offer you, but I want to yield it to you. I want to give it to you. Here it is. It's all yours, Lord. You know what the trouble with this is? You want me to check?
No, I'll tell
you. I'll tell you what the trouble with it is. We, many times, and I know this happens a lot in my case, we won't let God be God in our life.
Amen.
Do you hear what I said?
All right.
We won't let God be God in our life. We sing those songs. Of course, I was always taught, Brother Rutledge, you can sing a lie as well as tell a lie.
Uh-huh.
I've heard folks sing, I surrender all.
Oh.
And they're still dipping and chewing. I've heard folks say, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. They never had invited their neighbors to Sunday school. And so, I know from experience you can sing a lie as well as tell a lie. And so many times we'll sing, here I am, Lord. Here I am. I give all myself to Thee. Here I am, when really down in the secret corner of our heart, we know there's a part there that we have no intentions of Him ever getting hold of.
Oh, God.
I'm going to keep this for myself. This is my little corner. I had a young lady tell me one time, that's my private little place there, and nobody else can meddle with it, and I'm not going to let anybody have that. Not even the Lord's going to get a hold of that.
Oh, my Lord.
Now, she said, He's got full run of all the rest of me.
Yeah.
He can have all the rest of me. Oh, but I'm just going to hold that one. I'm reserving that one little spot there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what He wants you to do? Is say, here I am, Lord. Here's all of me. All of me. Well, so now, Lord, I'm going to give it all to You. I'm going to turn it all over to You, Lord. I want You to use me. I want You to bless me.
Yeah.
And we'll say, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And I'll say, I've come to church tonight. I've got so many things that's on me. And I just need the Lord to help me. And I need the Lord to strengthen me. And I need the Lord to guide me, lead me, be with me. But I don't know if He'll do that because I've been so bad and I've been so ugly and I've been so hard to get along with and I don't know if He really cares for me or not. And really, I don't know if anybody cares for me or not.
Oh, God.
Just seems like it's hard to find anybody that really understands what I'm going through.
Yeah.
It just seems so terrible that there's just nobody in tune with the Spirit anymore enough to know that I've got burdens and I've got troubles and I'm hurting. I just really am.
Yeah.
And it's just hard for anybody to understand what I'm going through. I'll tell you, there's just so many things that I've picked up along the way that. And the Lord said that You'd never put any more on us than we could bear, Brother Cagle, but I think He's just about done it. I've just about got more than I can bear, I'm telling you. And it just gets heavier and heavier sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just seems like the longer I go, and it seems like the... And then, if I'm not careful, somebody will give me one of their problems.
Yeah.
And it's not that I didn't have enough of my own, and then I've got friends. And as I go and I visit with them, they say, did you hear? And then I've got something else I've got to carry. I don't understand why I'm going through this, and I don't really know why God's putting this on me, and I don't know, but oh, have you got a problem I can carry? And the Lord said, bring it to me, I'll take care of it. And the Lord said, cast your cares. Oh, hallelujah. But you see, we just get so used to saying, well, nobody understands and nobody cares and nobody's listening and nobody wants to, and I don't know what else to do. I think I better go to the revival tonight and see if that preacher can help me. I went last night. He didn't do so hot, but I'll tell you, I'll try again tonight. And on, the burdens pile up until, oh, brother, have you got a burden for me? And then we come and we find a place to sit. And while they're singing, it's hard for me to stand, Brother Rutledge, because I've got too many burdens.
Yeah.
And the Lord said that I can be delivered. And the Lord said that I can have help and I can have strength and I can have whatever I need.
Yeah.
But you see, I don't remember that. I have trouble with my mind. Because, you see, I've got all these things. So then they say, let's everybody come forward. And if you've got anything, just bring it down here. Just bring it to the Lord. So we'll leave them there.
Yeah.
Leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If we trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Oh, Lord, I've got a lot of them.
Yeah.
Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Oh, here they are, Lord. Here they are, Lord. Here's all these things that's had me weighted down. Lord, you said that you'd never ask any more of me than what I was able to do, and you said you'd never put any more on me. And they know all those verses, brother.
Yeah.
Every one of them, they can quote them,
yeah.
And they quote them to the Lord.
Yeah.
Just as if He didn't know He had it put in there to start with. And on it goes. And they say, now let's lift our hands. We lay it all out before the Lord. Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord for deliverance and for help and for strength and for answer. Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay, let's all return to our seats. Just a minute. All right, preacher. Preach to us. Help me be delivered from my burdens.
Oh God, my Lord.
Did you get the message?
We got it. We're guilty.
I try to make it so plain that even the children can understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You see, God's here tonight.
He's here.
I said God is here tonight. And He wants to bless us. And He wants to help us. And He wants to deliver us. And He wants to heal us. And He wants to do whatever it is that we want to fill us with the Holy Ghost. He wants to bring revival to our heart. He wants to stir us. And He wants to rekindle the flames of the Holy Ghost and the fire in our heart. And He's not going to ask you to do something that you're not able to do. He's not going to require something out of you that's going to necessarily be something that you're going to be embarrassed by and say, well, I'm not able to do that, but I can't say that, or I can't be that way. But what He's wanting you to do is bring what you have. Bring what you have. Bring what you have. to Him and lay it all out before Him and say, here it is, Lord. I don't know whether you can even do anything with it or not, Lord, but just as it is, here it is. And there are some folks that don't think we've got a whole lot. There's other folks that think we're really something, and there's some folks that really don't care one way or the other. But whether we are or whether we aren't, whether we have it or whether we don't, we need to just tell it to Jesus and say, Lord, if you can do anything with it, if you can help us, if you can bless us, if you can just smile on us, then, Lord, everything will be all right. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus.
Amen.
You're so good to us, Lord. He wants to help us.
Amen.
He wants to bless us. Now, I want you to know that I feel His Spirit here tonight to do those very things for us. But so many of the time, so many has been the time that the opportunity passed us by because we failed to realize we have within our very presence tonight what the world is longing for and what the world is seeking for. We have the very one in our presence tonight that can satisfy the hungry heart. I'm not the one that can do it. These preachers that are behind me cannot do it. But we are in touch and acquainted with one that can satisfy that hunger that's in the heart of every individual that's walking the streets of this city.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Sometimes we fail to realize that.
Right.
Sometimes we fail to realize that we don't have to go home the same way we came here tonight.
Right.
Because there's something in our possession that we have. Sometimes we've become so accustomed to it and so used to it and so acquainted with what we're feeling and how we are that we fail to realize that there might be somebody that might not know the Lord the way we know the Lord and may not be in the place where we are with the Lord, and they have something that they have in need of. And we're here tonight to let you know that you have come to the place where that need can be met.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All of those burdens and all of those problems and all of those troubles that we collected, and even some that our friends shared with us, we can come and we can bring to Jesus. We are. He knows you better than anybody else knows you. In fact, I'd venture to say He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what you can do. He knows what you can't do. And I'm not going to go into illustrations of times when I've saw folks that thought they could sing and get up and try to sing. Thought they could play and tried to get up and play. But you've been in those meetings before, many of you. The thought that I wanted to bring to you tonight is Jesus wants you. Just as you are. Isn't that beautiful? You say, but you don't know all the load I'm carrying. You don't know what it is that I possess. You don't know what it is I've been involved in. You don't know the problems and the cares that have faced me. And you don't know how I've failed. You don't know what I've done. But I said, Jesus wants you just the way you are. He asked that little widow woman, the prophet of God said, just use what you've got in the house for all of those pots to be filled and to be free from that debt. She didn't have to go out and borrow more and get in debt further. Some folks go deeper in debt trying to get out of debt. She used what she had.
and offered that just as it was. But it seems small, it seems trivial, it seems so unimportant, seems so insignificant. But when the Lord called me, I felt very insignificant. I don't feel a whole lot more adequate tonight. He called me when I was 15 years old. I didn't have a driver's license. I was just a freshman in high school. I'd never been to Bible school. I wasn't married. My wife didn't play an accordion. I didn't pick the guitar. We didn't pull an Airstream trailer. All these things that I always thought that's the way it was supposed to be is when the Lord called you to preach. I only had one suit and only had one Sunday pair of shoes. That was back when you had a school pair and a Sunday pair. Some of you young people don't remember those days. And I thought, well, Lord, are you sure about this? And then when I finally felt like He did, then I was told what I've already shared with you. But did you know what? All He was wanting was me just to stand before Him and say, Lord, this is it.
Hallelujah.
What you see is what you get, Lord. Just like I am. I don't have any airs about me. I don't have any big education. I don't have any fancy flowing words. Oh, many have been the time I wished I could get up and make my words flow and just be so eloquent with my speech, but it just doesn't come. And I'm sure not going to use words I don't know what they mean. I may really get in trouble. So what I do is I just try to offer Him what I have. And if it doesn't make the grade, I can't make excuse for it if I have done what I could do. Because you see, this is just what I have to offer. And you have something that you can give Him.
Amen.
You have something that only you can give Him. Hallelujah. And that's the beauty of the kingdom of God. Everyone individually important to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Don't ever let anybody tell you you're not important. Don't ever let anybody tell you that it doesn't matter or you don't care or you don't count. You do count. In God's kingdom you can. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's love the Lord together right now. Jesus, I praise You tonight.
Oh, touching Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Is all that really matters.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Things in your life will never be
the same.
You must believe when you call on His name. Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, there is only one way you can touch Him. You must believe when you call on His name.